I'm thinking through random topics this week because it's always covered in the news. You can only, you know, go over stuff so many times. One of the things that I've seen this past week, I'm dealing with some people that we're doing pro bono English lessons for some skaters, and one of the kids was apprehensive. It's just like, if you want to be sponsored, then you've got to study English. You've got to be awesome altogether. We're not just giving you free stuff to use you. You need to be awesome people, awesome as human beings. And, you know, part of that is like they need to learn English in their context and situation. So, you know, one of the kids is like, well, I'm already busy. I'm in school all day. I'm tired. I get together with him and do English finally. He's just like, well, okay. We get together and he loves it. He's like, that's how they teach English in America? I'm like, yep. Now, it's not exactly the American system of grammar because I'm doing noun case and I'm not doing diagram trees. I draw boxes and circles around the words and groups of words. I show it differently. I can do a sentence diagram in place. My lovely band director I did a video about how I draw boxes over the words to show independent, dependent clauses, different parts of the sentence. And he says, just diagram the thing. I'm like, you can't do it in place. Like, I can draw this on top of the words as the sentence sits in the book and have it make sense. I don't need to have some extra blank paper. You can look at it where it lies. Like, that's the advantage of that. But I do this, I circles and triangles and boxes start to mean things. And as a result, I can just draw some basic shapes over the words. And automatically the student goes, oh, that's what's going on. And it helps the words come to life. I mean, it puts color into them. So, yeah, that happens. And, the kid loved and appreciated it. Same thing with computers. The kid that I was talking about, I met at the gym the other day. He needs to work on legs. I told him the same thing about computers. He studied C language in college for an associate's degree, and he hated C language. And I'm like, it's the way they teach it. I'm like, that's useful because C is the basis of all other languages, but you know, I have a way of teaching stuff that's more by example and it's understandable. The Taiwanese system of teaching stuff is so boring. I think some of the things that came out of this, we're dealing with, one session I deal with a young man, maybe high school. Of course I'm working with Lahi, and I'm also working with an adult lady and a high school girl. I work with them together. I just don't do girls alone. Just my goodness, what the heck. But, they work well as a pair because I'm this scary, hairy man. And so the girls there can gang up on me and I think they feel safer. It develops a little bit of an estrogen culture for them so that they can work better. And also, it's interesting because the lady has advanced English knowledge, but she doesn't know the basics. It's like she skipped leg day. And the girl, the high school girl, needs to learn the basics. So I teach the basics to the girl and the adult lady watches and she learns by watching someone else learn. That's a thing. In the learning process, when you watch someone else have a learning breakthrough, you yourself experience a learning breakthrough on some level. So just watching someone else learn can help you, even if they're not your questions being answered. It's not just a feeling. The light, when you watch someone else have the light bulb go off, all of a sudden your own light bulb will go off and you'll want to stand up and raise your hand and start saying stuff about what you just realized simply because you watched someone else's light bulb go. It's an interesting dynamic about learning. It's why really one powerful way to work with a classroom is to pull one student in front of everybody else and to teach that student one-on-one in front of everybody else while everybody else watches. And it makes it as if everyone in the classroom is having a personal experience. And also, you're giving permission to fail. You're giving permission to stand up in front of others. We're learning affirmation. You've got to teach that to the class. So that's one way to do classroom, you know, effective classroom learning is to do one-on-one tutoring in front of the rest of the class. Like, whose turn is it to do one-on-one now? You could rotate every 5 or 10 minutes. Or you could, I guess you could do a full session, but that's kind of exhausting for the student. But no, you know, you could do that. It's a good, great thing. You know, yeah, you've got mistakes and your friends still support you and cultivate a positive culture throughout the class. That's a thing. So I'm going through this with the young man and these two ladies, and the response from everyone is, Taiwan doesn't teach this way. Taiwan, it's like, if the student raises a hand to ask a question, that is seen as disobedience and is punished. Like, you know, why the, you know, you could get a detention slip, and the reason on the detention slip is because the student asked questions during class too many times. Like, that's Taiwan's culture. And that's, it's in their school rules. It's utterly absurd. It is absurd. And with the developments I've been talking about this week, dealing with the same idiocy that makes China vulnerable to America's provocative deterrence, which I'm not trying to blame America, but it is what it is. I meant what I said at the Times this week, that to deter is to provoke, and to provoke is to deter. In military strategy, deterrence and provocation are the same action. So America, we're trying to deter problems. That's not how war works. In war and in conflict escalation, deterrence and provocation are interchangeable. They are the same thing. In other parts of society, there might be a difference, but in war, it's not. People are either itching for a battle or they're not. And any provocative measure is a deterrent, and any deterring measures are provocative if you really sit down and look at it. All defensive moves are offense. Have you ever heard of offense by defense or defense by offense? The best defense is offense. Have you ever heard that? Because they can be the same thing. And so in war, it's an art. And war is an art. And understanding that deterrence and provocation are the same thing is central to that. So I don't mean to say that the United States is the world's troublemaker, although on some level we have been. In other levels, we've been the Pax Americana regulator. There's good and there's bad. And yes, there is arms dealing and war profiteering, but that could be argued for everyone. My point is when I say, well, America's, you know, deterring and provoking at the same time, I don't follow the news narratives. I don't follow the idea they're the enemy. We should all hate them together. That's a loving nation. I don't follow that script, but that is the script that seems to be cultivated in society and everywhere we go into. And the last time society got duped was 2003, in the buildup after 9/11, and going into war with Iraq. Like we got sucked into that. So, no, we need to have action with China, but as the action against China is going to end up clearing out a lot of the same bad thinking as Taiwan's teachers have. And we have so many of these ideas in Chinese culture, because Taiwan and Hong Kong are both Chinese culture, as is Macau. That mindset is going to go. And right now we're working with the skaters, helping them learn. Well, I'll tell you something. In my own situation with the Taiwan thing and the evidence that I have, I've been talking with my lawyer about the possibility of doing SEC filing. You know this Facebook whistleblower lady? What she did on Facebook might be a similar, if not the same thing that I do, filing with the SEC in what happened to me in Taiwan. I might be able to file against human trafficking that happened in Taiwan the same way that this Facebook whistleblower filed her stuff, with the same office, maybe even the same people answering the phone. That's like my lawyer and I are talking about that, or something similar. We're not sure which route to take. But in many different manners, This there is going to be an injection of good, healthy thinking in Taiwan, and it's going to be a game changer. It's going to anger China. It could provoke a small scuffle, and you know, like it's serious for a short time and then cool down. But it's going to reset the chessboard for the whole world stage. See you next week.